Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Watch out. Dirt and Sprague are having corned beef and cabbage for lunch.
If you farted on the downswing, you'd fly over the hedge.
Live from Royal Port Rush in Northern Ireland. Well, okay, they're watching Royal Port Rush on TV. This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
It's British Open Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's a great shot without swing.
The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Anteater Johnson in with you on a Monday afternoon.
Happy Open Championship Week, Brandon Sprague.
Sure. Okay.
I thought that was a pretty good accent. Was that pretty good? I thought that was pretty solid.
One of your better ones you've done.
I'm terrible at accents, and I actually thought I nailed that one right off the bat.
I don't think you're terrible. It's not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's not my forte.
You can occasionally bust it out.
Sure.
But you're not terrible.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Like, my mom doing accents would be terrible. Horrible.
What's the go-to? Everybody has their go-to accent.
I feel like it's always Australian or English.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry, I'm losing. I'm stopping. All right, I'm out of here. My show's over. I'll see you guys later.
See, when it gets in your head is when you screw it up. This happens to me. I'll do it, and someone goes, oh, you did pretty good. And I'll go, y'all. And it won't be good.
Am I?
Yeah, right into the freaking wall.
Off-the-cuff accents are when you're at your best.
Yeah, very true, very true.
I need to settle something.
Okay.
Because we forgot to settle this on Friday.
Settle it up.
And I just happened to be reminded of it today because I used it.
Okay.
I got a lot of grief from you because I recently have changed over and decided that Brandon Sprague is not capable of using his phone well enough, so he needs to have a real planner. So
not like, hey, using the planner on your phone.
No.
Legitimately.
I bought a planner.
You have a planner.
It says 2019-2020 student planner.
Student planner?
On the cover. Yeah, it does.
You know, the only two people in my life that I know that have planners, you want to take a guess who they are? Because you're one of them.
Me and Sue?
Yep.
Yeah.
You and
Sue
Mama
Johnson,
Dirt.
Yeah.
You and my mom are the only two people I know in my entire life that use paper planners. And she has everything in her paper planner. You fill it out day by day. What do I have this day? What do I have that day?
Right.
All the phone numbers you need, all the account numbers you need, they're all right in there.
So is your address, are you still at 42nd Street?
Let me look at this. Yeah. She's still old school, never went digital with it.
What I don't like is I don't like getting a lot of grief from a guy who still writes checks on a regular basis to pay all his bills.
What? Not all. Portion of the bills.
Well, whatever bills your fiance said, I'm paying these online because you're ridiculous. We're not buying checkbooks every month. I can't believe you're the one giving me grief. You've given me the most grief of anybody over this.
I have,
of anybody in my life.
Well, to be fair, I think every single person that you've told about this has immediately responded by ridiculing you.
Yeah, they make fun
of me. Like you just had Dave Kinsella, great sales guy in the building. He wants you to go on these runs with him. He does these hash runs. And so he invited you tonight. You couldn't make it.
I've done one before.
You've done one, yeah.
But it went too long.
And then he invited, was it next Monday, I think? He invited you to another one next Monday. And you responded by saying, I don't think I have anything. Let me check my calendar. And you got through and you flipped through the pages. And he responded, you know, you have one of those on your phone.
I've been dropping that regularly to people of like, oh, let me check my calendar.
Yeah, let me look over my...
Because it's a good way for me to remember that I have a planner and to write stuff in it.
Now, to be fair, in your defense against me, I don't use the planner on my phone and I don't have a paper planner and I forget things all the time. And I don't even have that much stuff going on in my life. Like just recently, my trainer bought a new house and he had a housewarming party. And he told me about it at one of our sessions. Like, hey, coming up in like 2 weeks on Saturday, I'm having a housewarming party. Come stop by. Say what's up. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'll be there. Totally forgot.
Completely.
Totally
forgot.
Mm-hmm. And next time I saw him, hey, where were you Saturday? Like, well, I played golf, barbecued.
Oh, you didn't even think about
his party.
No.
Yeah. And then he said, oh, yeah, we had the party that. Oh, that's right. I totally forgot.
Now, did you make it up to him?
I mean, I said, sorry for not being there.
Oh, you didn't buy a housewarming gift?
No.
Of any sort?
I did. I let him borrow my lawnmower. I think that's a fair trade-off.
That's not bad.
That's a fair trade-off.
If you would have not had the lawnmower, it would have been kind of funny because he would have viewed it as he just went cheap.
He just didn't want to be cheap. Bring me a $20 Home Depot gift card.
Right.
That's all it goes.
No, look, I'm well aware of my iPhone 10 has a calendar and it's got like family sharing. So you could even write going to an excursion Saturday from 11 to 1, and my wife will get an alert.
Yeah, and you can give yourself reminders. So it'll like send you something in the morning like, hey, you have this today at 3 o'clock.
Right. My problem is I've
you
never...
You guys are talking like you just found out what a cell phone was and like its functions. Like, wow, I can do an alarm
on it too. To be fair, Androids can't do any of this.
Right.
They don't even have calendar mode in Androids.
No, they don't.
No, they don't have weather apps.
They barely work with video. Have you watched a video?
Joe's in the dark over there.
I know what you guys are trying to do. I'm not falling for it.
Sukanik just recorded a video on an Android and put it on Facebook and it was pixelated like all hell. Like nobody wants to use Android phones.
It's probably one of those Boost Mobile Androids.
Boost Mobile. No, like, I know how old we sound right now, but there is just something about using my calendar is, how do I put this? I have different categories on my phone. So, like, I have a social media block, and I have all my social media
in there.
You have
folders. You have, like, app folders.
Yeah. My calendar, and I could change this, but I don't. My calendar is not easily seen. I just don't do it on a regular basis enough to go, yeah, the calendar works for me. So what I do know is if I can actually physically do it, I start to learn it. It's how I was in school. I would listen to somebody talk.
It's your learning mechanism.
I would never follow. I'd lose them about halfway and go, yeah. And then they would go, I don't think you get it. Let's walk this through. And I would go, and right around the time I'd lose them, they'd figure out that's true. He didn't know.
Right.
So I walk through it. I'm a very... Is visual the right term?
I think so.
Visual learner?
Sure, that works for me.
I just need to do it with my hands to get it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I keep forgetting what the wife is putting down. I don't remember my daughter's schedules. Yeah. I have my own schedule.
You got a lot going on. I get that. It's not the using of the calendar part. It's just the...
No, it's pretty ridiculous because when I bought
it's the paper calendar.
The lady at Fred Meyer's, and this is a direct quote, oh, I didn't know we sold these anymore. I said, yeah, it's over there in aisle 22.
At least you didn't say, oh, you getting one for your daughter? Is she in high school? Is she getting a calendar too?
No, because high schoolers have phones now, so they don't even give them to kids anymore.
Yeah, now I do. So we did a poll question. I think people voted me being writing checks, being older than you, using a calendar book. I still get looks because you know, I pay my mortgage with a check every month. I don't know why. I've just been, mainly it's out of just being lazy. Like I haven't set it up on the app. I could do it on, I pay a lot of bills on apps. I just haven't done it with my mortgage, and it's on my way to work. So it's like, whatever.
I drop my rent checks off the office in L.O.
Drop that check off, baby. I do go.
You're still dropping checks?
Oh, yeah. I've got to take it to the office and physically hand it to them.
Our tenants just Venmo.
They just Venmo you the
money. We just Venmo the money. Like, hey, just Venmo it to us. We don't care.
Or aren't you hip, Brandon Sprague?
So wait.
Aren't you with the scene?
You send your money and stuff over an app on your phone, but you'd have to use a paper calendar. You know, when there's a counter on your phone.
Because my banking app is something I use quite regularly. And when I'm using Venmo to pay people back or get money, Joe, this is my point. I don't ever use my calendar app. I don't need to know the date. I know the date. All I need to know is the weather, my bank, and social media.
That's all you got.
That's all I use on my phone.
That's all you need.
That's all. I don't use the capabilities. So all these cell phone nerds that might text in like, do you know your phone's capable of putting an astronaut on the moon? Nobody uses their phone like that. We use the phone for like four things.
Can my phone really do that?
You have more technology in your phone than they had at NASA the day they sent the astronauts to the moon.
Suck on that, astronauts.
But what do we do with it? We use Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, bank app, and text or call.
Really, the only thing my phone provides me in life is a distraction while pooping.
Exactly.
Like, let's be honest. That's, I would say 75% of my phone usage comes on the toilet.
Exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, and then occasionally you have the nights where you lay in bed, you're getting ready to go to bed, and you're like scrolling through stuff and you can't put it down. Like that happens from time to time, but the majority of my phone usage happens in one room in my house.
Yeah, I just don't, I feel like most people, like a large percentage of the country doesn't utilize the phone more than like for three things.
Yeah, when I needed a new iPhone, they tried to sell me on the 10, like the big jumbo 10. I was like, dude, I call, I text, does it have the Twitter app? All right, weather, cool. I don't need anything more than that, man. I'm not playing like video games on this thing, all right?
See, when I...
Does it call and text? Good, I'm good.
I just wanted the iPhone 8 because I had a 6. The 6 was crapping out. I said, oh, what's the next one? They said, it's an 8. I said, yeah, I'll take the 8. They go, well, the 10's the same price. Do you want the 10 or the 8? And I go,
just give me the 8.
Well, it's the same price. Give me the newest one. Jeez. Why would I choose to have the old one for the same price as the new one?
Give me the old one. Staying true to my soul, baby.
And when people go, hey, do you like the 10? what's new about the 10? I'll go, the pictures look a little better.
Nice looking pictures on that thing, man.
That's how Brandon Sprague views and operates cell phones. A glimpse into my life. Well, sure. A cool phone.
Sure.
It's like people with cars.
Well,
I don't care.
Let's be honest. We need a good camera on Sprague's phone for the shirtless pictures. Let's, you know.
The ladies' request.
That is obviously, how many megapixels does that thing have?
We need to zoom in. Yeah.
Have clear nipples
What's
on that
the definition?
Thing?
Can I see the six pack?
Exactly. You know? Can we get to enough definition to see the 8? What are we doing here?
You're stretching it with the 8 pack.
Well, we'll have to find out in August. Okay, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. All you daily planners out there, hope you're... I hope you listen to what we just talked about here and you took it to heart.
You like that offense?
The Giants are up
12. You like
12.
That offense?
The Giants are up 12-0 in the third inning.
You like that?
Is it Marquez?
No, they finally took him out. They gave up 10 runs and they took him out.
Sheesh. Just an ass-kicking right now in Colorado.
Look out, wild card. We're coming for you.
Yeah, dirt's all in on the Giants again.
Only 4.5 out, baby.
A funny moment happened in this game, and then we'll get to what's on tap for today's show. Brandon Crawford hit an opposite field home run right before the swing, and I'm talking like 3 seconds before he swung.
It was that pitch.
Durko's, God, he's been terrible this year. Crank
no,
it.
No, I think the announcer said something like, you got to be careful with a quality hitter like Brandon Crawford.
That's right.
And I was like, I don't know about that. He's only hitting 226 this year.
Very next pitch.
3-run home run.
Just unreal. Okay, we got a good show today. Something's pissing us off. We're going to get to this at 12:15. Just the disrespect is, it's dumb. We have 2 stops to make at the Daily Ticker. We are bringing back the NFL whip around.
Ooh.
Camp's open in a week, so we got enough things today we can get to. So the NFL whip around is back at 1:00. We need to get to the Wimbledon final. Did you watch the Wimbledon final? I saw the men were down.
The ratings were down.
Like, if the ratings go down on that match, there's no hope.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you can't come up with 2 bigger names than that.
2 biggest names. They've been around for a decade.
Yeah.
They're battling in the all-time legacy of trophy counting. Like, Djokovic is 5 behind going in, and they had an epic 5-hour match, and the ratings went down.
That's not good.
Not good.
That's not ideal.
But I watched 2/3 of it.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that. Is 5 hours too long for your championship situation?
You only committed 3.5 hours of your Sunday to that?
Not bad. I'd say I missed the first hour and 45 minutes.
Okay. And then you turn it on.
Yeah. And then turned it on. We have the Blazers win total. I think everybody's going to take the over on this one. We got, what else we have? Oh, we got a meth gator.
We do. We have meth gators.
We have a meth gator. We have a guy who fasted and it worked for him. He didn't get sick. We got some Pac-12 win totals for you, updated ones today. And then some college football playoff odds that we want to talk about.
Boom.
So it's going to be a good show. We're on Twitter at Dern Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. Congratulations to Marcus Greaves. He got a new job with Coin 6.
Yeah, he's big time in us. He's going TV, man. He's leaving us little people behind.
He's
going
to leave the radio station. He'll still do the damn podcast, but he'll be doing his digital and TV thing over at Coin 6. So congratulations to him. But let's start with this. 6 quarterbacks better than Aaron Rodgers? You're out of your freaking mind, man. We'll start there on The Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Someone says, Sprague, I'm 49. I don't even use the internet on my cell phone. Cricket, cheapo plan, phone, text, take pics of the pets. That's it. I use the laptop for internet. I like it.
That's a pretty old man thing to do.
That's pretty old manny, but that's okay.
That ranks up there.
Yeah.
Like, is there anybody out there that knits? Can somebody top that?
My wife knits.
Does she really?
100%.
Yeah, you guys are an old... We have old lady chairs out front of our, like, on our patio. Like, old white rocking chairs that we sit in sometimes.
Okay.
I feel really old when I do that. Like, you look out on the neighborhood.
So, my big accomplishment from the weekend, I put together a new patio furniture set that we bought. I was so happy.
What the hell's happening, man?
I'm getting old.
What the hell is happening to us?
Yesterday, I had a group of buddies. One of my friends just got engaged, and he's going to get married next year, like a month after you. And some of the groomsmen came over last night for a barbecue, or yesterday afternoon for a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And we're chilling. We're just hanging out. And one of them had their phone out, and he was looking down, and we were all kind of talking. And I just looked at him. I go, hey, why don't you be here in the moment with us?
Why don't you be present, all right? We're here. Hello.
I love technology. I think we're getting way too addicted to it. And I see it all the time.
That's hilarious.
I had to do it twice to him.
Yeah. I'll do it like as a habit in socially awkward situations. Like if you don't know anybody or you're somewhere, like that's when the tick kicks in for me.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Take it out.
I would get it. Like last year I showed up to Fan Madness super early. I was like, I'm going to get breakfast at the Independent. I didn't know anybody. Nobody was there.
Yeah.
I just had my phone out and I was reading some articles as I was eating breakfast. I'll do that.
Right.
But man, it was a group of us.
Yeah. And it's not a big group either. You're just hanging out. You kind of know everybody like that.
I hadn't seen those guys in like 3 months. It'd been a while. They're my friends.
Put your phone away, man. Come on. We're hanging out here.
Let's have a conversation right now. Be human beings.
Let me say, I'll turn 40 this year. I'm already yelling at kids driving too fast on my street. Yeah. Hey, slow down. Remember what you used to say to that guy that yelled at you when you drove through the neighborhood?
Oh, my God. I hated that guy.
Ah, shut up, you old bag.
I had a friend of mine. His garage was open. And my kids and some other kids and his kids. There's like 7 or 8 kids total. We're playing in his garage. And one kid was a little older than all of them. And he comes and talks to me, my brother-in-law, and another buddy of ours. We're just sitting around talking, shooting the crap. He comes up and he goes, guys, do you have a minute? And I go, sure. And he's a little older than I am. And he goes,
something pressing on his mind.
There's this kid over here, and he's telling all our kids about marijuana. And I said, is that a problem? And he goes, I think they're a bit young. I think they're a bit young.
How old are they?
They're like 10 to 12.
Okay. Okay.
And I said, I knew about weed when I was like 7.
Yeah, you kind of get the gist of it at a young age.
Like, oh, my mom smoked it. She got a little tired. She slept.
I kind of know what's going on here. I can connect the dots.
But it's just, I have reset it, and I'm not even all that old, but like, I just feel like more and more I'm becoming the old guy that I used to be like, screw you, old guy.
It's happening slowly but surely, man.
Slowly but surely.
I feel like we need that like Billy Madison scene where he grabs the kid. He's like, don't ever grow up. Stay here as long as you can. Somebody needs to do that to us right now. Or we need to go find, it's not even Joe, because Joe's a dad, so he doesn't really count. We need to go find like a young pup in the building who doesn't have any kids. Just hold on as long as you can, man.
Well, you know you're old when you and your wife are sitting down and you're drinking a glass of wine and you go, I think we chose the right color mulch.
Yeah, this is good mulch out here, honey.
I think the black mulch was better to go with than the red.
Oh, dear Lord.
And that's what my weekends kind of are now.
It's a thrilling Saturday night at the Sprague household.
Oh, my God. It's electric, man. You should see it. We're laying in bed. The two kids are dictating what we're watching. We're passing out while they're still awake watching this kid movie that we've seen 13 times already. It's glorious.
Well, it makes you feel any better. So I played 36 holes of golf this weekend, which was a bit aggressive because the second round I didn't really ask permission for. I just kind of said I was going to do it and didn't ask if we had anything going on, which is a bold play. So I took her out to dinner Friday night to try and like ease into the weekend. Like, hey.
Did she know this?
Well, she knew I was going to golf. And then I surprised her with dinner. I thought this was pretty.
This is how I break even.
This is pretty impressive on my part.
Sure, yeah.
But the price that I had to pay, and I want to challenge anybody to come up with something worse on TV. The price that I had to pay, and if anybody else has a girlfriend or fiance or wife like this, she loves watching Christmas in July Hallmark movies.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's my response. So that's a thing.
There's a little judgment going on.
If
right
you
now.
Didn't know that's a thing, it's a thing. They show Chris, and they're like really low budget. Like the blonde girl from Full House is like in a lot of them.
The Cameron Candace?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The oldest daughter. Yeah. She's in a lot of those. So it's like real, like Winnie, I think, from...
real cliche, corny, somewhat a little religious tone
to it. Hint,
yeah, yeah.
Hint, right?
I'm glad I'm here with my boyfriend and God.
Right. Wait, what? So that was ultimately my punishment for the weekend, was like getting home from golf and a barbecue on Saturday. It was like, all right, what are we going to watch? We're watching a Hallmark Christmas movie. So I bit my tongue. Yeah, hey, you know, we're going to enjoy this thing. And I question anybody, or challenge you, I should say, to find something worse on TV than a Hallmark Christmas movie.
I can't.
Like, try, because I tried to think about this while we were watching and not paying attention.
CNN, Fox News.
Like, is there anything that I would rather watch instead of this, like, least rather watch instead of this? And I couldn't come up with something.
Okay, so how much did you drink and how much did you smoke to get through that session?
I was just hanging.
Christmas
I didn't
in July?
I know, right?
When she's watching this, is she like laughing? Is she like smiling, enjoying it? And you're doing what?
She just enjoys it.
You're doing what?
I'm just sitting there staring blankly at the TV.
Not knowing even what's going on in the movie.
Honestly, Saturday night I was thinking about, I shot a 79 at Langdon and I triple bogeyed 18.
You kept thinking about those
holes. So I was going over 18 and I sprayed my drive to the right. I hit it in the water. It's a new Pro V1. I played with the same ball the whole round. Lost it on 18. Like... that's where my mind
Candace
was.
Cameron's at the pivotal moment of the movie. Is he going to show up at the bus stop or not to come have Christmas with my family? And Dirt's going, oh, I really triple bogeyed 18. If I would have just used a 52 instead of the 56, we would have been right there and I would have put in for Bogue.
I would have been on point.
Man.
And now usually, because I dominate a lot of the TV time, but there wasn't any Giants games on or anything Saturday night. And I figured 36 holes, all right, we'll get through this, all right? We'll survive this.
Unreal. By the way, what glass is he using, Joe? Joe, what glass is he using for his coffee?
Oh, I am, yeah.
He's bagging Christmas in July, and he's sitting over here with...
that's mistletoe.
Mistletoe.
You bros don't know that it's Christmas in July? Come on.
Yeah, like, half Christmas is approaching, right?
Half Christmas is almost here.
No, I think that's June 25th.
I didn't want to take your... I didn't want to take away from your story, but I can relate to this because... they just put the Grinch cartoon movie on Netflix, and my youngest wants to watch this every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
And you just want to say, you know, it's coming up in like 4 months.
No, because
it's going to be here before we know it.
Because I'm the kind of person and parent that's going to be honest with you instead of lie like a lot of parents do. I like to have alone time at my house, so I will put the movie on and just leave her alone for the entirety of the movie. I have no problem admitting this. And I hate parents that are like,
you go do that.
I limit my kids' screen time to an hour and a half a day. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't.
Now, my kids play outside a lot. They go swimming. They do sports. But yeah, there's a lot of moments during the week where I go, pick a freaking movie because I'm going upstairs.
Right. I'm going to go hang out, all right?
I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to go do some work stuff.
He said my old lady punishes me by making me sit down and watch in its entirety Gone with the Wind.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a
tough hang.
Somebody said, I haven't missed a season of The Bachelorette Bachelor in 8 years of marriage. Oh, I'm not sure if that's as bad as a Hallmark Christmas movie in July. I don't know. That's
I think it's
there.
Slightly better because Christmas should not exist in July.
Yeah, I think I would rather watch The Bachelorette and The Bachelor. At least I can like make fun of the dudes. Like, you know, there's, you know,
it was like 81 degrees on Friday and you watched a movie where she was wearing a stocking cap. That's not good. Okay, we didn't get to what's pissing us off. We'll get to that at 12:45. We have two stops to make on the Daily Ticker. We'll dive into some sports things next, but first, Joe with a sports update.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan, Dirt and Sprague with you on this Monday. Two stops to make on the Daily Ticker. Let's go to the first one. Houston, Texas. Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle is our guest now. He's on Twitter at @AaronWilson_NFL, covering the Houston Texans as they could not reach a deal with Jadeveon Clowney down there in Texas. Aaron joins us now. Aaron, thanks for the time here in Portland, man. Should we be worried? Should Texan fans be worried that he is not going to be in their future? Or do you think they're just going to play this one more year and then reach an agreement?
Well, I think that it's complicated. When you look at the Texans and Jadeveon Clowney, obviously you won't have him for the start of training camp or the majority of the preseason. And his plan right now is to sign his $15.967 million franchise tender in time to start receiving his $939,000 and change game checks per week. So you will see him, if you're a Texans fan, September 9th against New Orleans Saints. Whether he's ready in football shape, who knows? I know that he's in excellent physical condition. He's been training with LeBron James's trainer down in Miami. He has been posting a lot of workout videos. He's really, I think, in the best shape of his life, just in terms of how he looks. Mm-hmm. And whether that translates into a better season, you know, we'll find out. He spent last week at Julius Peppers' pass rushing camp. It's encouraging to see that that's kind of a weak point of his game, is his pass rushing. He's a better run stopper than he is a pass rusher. But, yeah, what it means for the future, it's all up in the air. It's a fluid situation depending on how the season goes. If they reignite talks next offseason, or if they franchise him again, or if they try to trade him, everything is on the table, except they have no current plan to trade him. They briefly explored some trade discussions. It went nowhere. The Kansas City Chiefs traded instead for Frank Clark. And, you know, where this leaves now, Clowney and the Texans, he has vowed that he will come back in outstanding shape and work on his craft and earn his new deal. And he says he's not worried about his contract. He says that will take care of itself if he plays the way he should. So, you know, the relationship isn't really that contentious. It's just he wants money like Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, guys like that. He has not, in my opinion or fact, you know, reached that level. He is not where those guys are. Where he is more in the Flowers, DeMarcus Lawrence category, really a little bit less than Lawrence in terms of pass rushing. So if you pay him, then you're going to pay him about the same amount that you're paying J.J. Watt, which is $100 million, which is a contract I don't believe he would accept because it's below what he believes his market value to be. So it's all kind of a non-starter, and you just have to reevaluate it. They also have no general manager and no plans to hire a general manager this season. And, you know, what is Nick Caserio, the potential new general manager, if he's able to get out of New England? You know, is he someone that's going to be inclined to play Jadeveon Clowney, or is he going to pass on him? So, yeah, I think everything's on the table. If I'm a Texans fan, I wouldn't spend a lot of time worrying about it. I would, you know, just hope that he will come back and get off to a faster start than he did last year when the season starts.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the GM thing. I know one of the issues that Brian Gain had was I believe he wanted to sign Clowney long-term, and O'Brien was against it. He wanted to use the franchise tag. And I think everybody was pretty surprised when he got fired last month. How do people down there feel about just what's going on behind the scenes? And I think they announced they're going the year without a GM, and O'Brien's kind of calling the shots. Like, what's going on behind the scenes there?
What's going on behind the scenes is Bill O'Brien is in charge, and Jack Easterby is advising him. He's the former Patriots character coach. And you have really just no pure general manager. You have a vice president in Matt Bezerjian, who's good at ranking players and setting up workouts and things like that. And you have a good negotiator in Chris Olsen, and you have a good college scouting director in James Lipford. So you have guys with different skill sets. But as far as someone to make the big picture decisions, you don't have that right now. So Bill O'Brien has to wear a lot of hats. He's the offense coordinator. He's the head coach. And he is the de facto GM, whether they want to talk about consensus and team decision-making and all, of course, reporting to Cal Bignair, the owner. But, yeah, he's the guy. And can they operate this way? It'll be interesting. I just wonder if you get to something really high-level during the season where you might need a general manager, how does it all work?
Yeah, it's a very interesting time for the Texans. A lot of talk of AFC teams, and they seem to be kind of the team that's slipping down in a lot of people's minds. So we'll see what they do this season. But they do not reach an agreement with Jadeveon Clowney. Aaron Wilson covering the Texans for the Houston Chronicle on Twitter at @AaronWilson_NFL. Aaron, great insight, great information. We appreciate the time, man, and we look forward to having you on again come football season.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Aaron Wilson. Oh, Aaron Wilson there of the Houston Chronicle on Jadeveon Clowney. Our second story and our second stop on the Daily Ticker is in Philadelphia with Kevin Kincaid on Twitter at Kevin_Kincaid for Crossing Broad. And he covers the Sixers along with a lot of other things. And he joins us now. Kevin, thanks for joining us here in Portland. I love the tweet headline you put for your story on the Ben Simmons 5-year, $170 million max extension that he just received. Yeah, but he can't shoot is what people are going to say. But you max a 22-year-old who's a borderline elite, a passer, defender, and rebounder. But, man, not being able to shoot really doesn't help, though, right?
Well, yeah, but those other skills are important, you know. So maybe at 22 years old, you can afford to get away with doing those three things very well. And then you figure out the shooting as it comes, you know. So, I mean, we'll see what he comes back with.
Well, I'm
we'll
curious.
See what he comes back with this summer, because that's a thing, that's story number one in all of Philadelphia.
Right. I'm curious, too, how this works, just with the long-term vision. I mean, it was an interesting offseason for him where the Butler sign and trade, you get a player back, at least in that regard. Horford leaves Boston, comes, signs a pretty sizable contract. Tobias Harris gets the deal. He remains, and now this Ben Simmons contract. I don't know where Embiid's at with his next extension and that kind of stuff. So how's the salary cap picture shaping up for him in the next couple of years?
Well, I mean, it'll be fine now. And then, you know, Embiid's on a supermax as well, so they really don't have much room beyond that. You know, you've got your four guys, and then you're going to sort of piece it together with whatever you can find beyond that. Josh Richardson is on a doable, you know, his contract is pretty friendly right now, but we'll see what happens with him down the road, you know. But, yeah, I mean, they're going for it. They're going for broke here. You know, they got a window to win the whole thing, and you know, after the process era, they finally struck on two stars that they're committed to and they want to stick by. So ownership said they'll pay the luxury tax, and we'll see if they're willing to put their money where the mouth is, you know.
Yeah. Kevin Kincaid is our guest, Crossing Broad, covering the Sixers in Philly as they give Ben Simmons 5 years, $170 million max extension. I like the addition of Al Horford. Do you like the fit with that team?
I do, yeah. And it's not even as much about him starting a power forward as a guy who can kind of stretch the floor and give you a little bit of three-point shooting. It's that, you know, if Joel Embiid, they have not been able to deliver to the playoffs healthy these last 2 years, you know, and you saw how important he was in the Raptors series. You know, as soon as he came off the floor, it was a nightmare. So theoretically, you know, you can sit Joel Embiid for every single back-to-back if you wanted to do that, and you can play Al Horford at the five and have him start there. Because they have not had a backup for Joel Embiid, somebody who can spell him in these situations where it just does not allow them to do what they need to do. So maybe have an Al Horford start for him at the five, and Joel and some back-to-backs. Maybe that's the difference between getting them the second seed instead of the third seed, you know. So it's not even as much about, you know, finding another starter with the starting group. It's as much about finding somebody who can spell Joel and allow them to rest him and just get him to the finish line.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, too. I mean, just looking at the Eastern Conference, it's an interesting picture because we knew how top-heavy it was last year, and a lot of those series did pan out and end up being pretty entertaining, including the Toronto-Philly series in the second round. But a real shakeup. I mean, you're imagining Toronto's going to take a step back. Philly's going to have a different look. Even Milwaukee, slightly different. Boston, different. How do you think the East, just the picture looks right now?
Well, and I think we have a year or two to get in there before Kevin Durant gets healthy and Brooklyn starts clicking, you know? So I think that's why it's even more important on the Sixers this year to try to get through and get to the finals. You know, I think 1 and 2 is the Bucks and the Sixers for sure. The other thing about Horford, too, is that Al Horford can defend Giannis. You know, now Joel Embiid's not just the only dude on the team who can do that. So that helps with that for sure. It's a really, really interesting look. But, yeah, the West is going to be a lot better than the East for sure. I think the Sixers have the pieces to do it. They're massive. They are a massive team. The smallest guy in the starting five is 6'6". They were top five rebounding team last year. They're going to be a top three rebounding team, probably top three defensive team as well. The question is whether they have enough enough guys who can actually score, or else we're looking at, like, you know, the 2011 Big East tournament finals where it was
right.
Like UConn and Syracuse, you know, fouling the hell out of each other.
Right. I'll get you out of here on this one, Kevin. It's a two-parter. One, I was actually going to bring that up. I'm glad you did. This is the tallest starting lineup in NBA history, right? Because the shortest guy is 6'6". I don't know what other lineup was taller than them. And and the second question is, let's say this is 2 years from right now when we're talking. 2 years from now, he's 24 and he still can't shoot. No semblance of shooting. Are you worried in Philadelphia at that point with that contract?
I mean, the first question, if you guys watched any of the Philly and Toronto series, the Sixers defended Toronto better than anybody better than Milwaukee, better than Golden State, better than anybody, really, just because they were so big and so disruptive on the defensive end that it was just every struggle, every possession for Toronto on the offensive end was a struggle. And, you know, Kawhi's heroics won it. If you look at what a guy like Fred VanVleet did in the finals, he didn't do anything against the Sixers. He did nothing against the Sixers. So they did a really good job against guys like him and Kyle Lowry. 24 years old, if Ben Simmons can't shoot, yeah, we probably still have problems. But I'll say this, and I'll leave it with this. Ben Simmons doesn't have to be a 37% three-point shooter for the Sixers to be successful. He has to have a respectable and a reasonable 12-foot, 14-foot mid-range jumper, just something that helps command defenders to him so that Joel Embiid is not getting double teamed and he's not getting digged into oblivion, you know, because that's the problem. It's more of a spacing issue with guys who are sagging off of him, who don't respect him at all, and then Joel Embiid has to deal with it. So by Ben Simmons improving his game a little bit, Joel Embiid takes the next step as well. So it's all interconnected, you know?
There we go. Good stuff. Kevin Kincaid, Crossing Broad, 76ers beat writer, joining us here on the Daily Ticker. Ben Simmons, 5 years, $170 million deal to stick in Philly. Kevin, thanks so much for the time. Great insight, great information, and we'd love to get you on this basketball season, man.
Yeah, anytime. Just give me a shout, all right?
Yeah, there we go. Good stuff. From Aaron Wilson in Houston on Jadeveon Clowney not getting an extension, and Kevin Kincaid of Crossing Broad on the 76ers signing Ben Simmons.
Yeah, the Simmons stuff is interesting. The non-shooting factor, I still give him some time to develop. He's never going to be Steph Curry.
No.
But can you develop into a competent shooter that you can't play 10 feet off of? I think he can get there, and we've seen examples of guys like that in the past. And the Clowney one, I almost think the story with Houston is not him. It's what's going on behind the scenes. Like, they don't have a GM. They fired him. Bill O'Brien's calling the shots. Is that really the guy you want calling the shots? He's an unproven head coach.
He's Marvin Lewis in Houston.
Right. They've announced they're going to go without a GM for the entire year, hoping they can steal somebody away from New England next year. It's just, it's a weird, I don't think you want to pay Clowney right now with a massive contract because he hasn't lived up to the expectations, but what's going on behind the scenes is a big deal with the Texans right
now.
See,
I think he has the last 2 years.
He's been better, yeah.
What I would say is I wouldn't pay Jadeveon Clowney right now because you don't have a friggin' GM to sort out how you do your salary cap.
That
doesn't help.
Bit of an issue, I would say.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a dumpster there. All right, coming up next, before we get to the NFL whip around, there's something in the National Football League that's pissing us off, and it has to do with quarterbacks. That's next on The Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
We're over here licking our chops because football season's rapidly approaching. And NFL camps get going next week. We got college football camp opening in just a couple weeks. July's flying by. The summer is whizzing right by. You never know it from the weather, but
yeah, it feels like a nice, cool October morning today.
Well, I told you about the patio furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't know it was raining last night. Left it out, poured.
I spent like 2 hours last night watering the front lawn. Like, what the hell? I woke up today and saw there was like the street was all wet.
God.
What a waste of water, man. I guess I should have checked my weather app.
Yesterday was perfect, too, weather-wise. No, I saw this morning. This pissed me off. Very few things get me upset in sports anymore. This one kind of got me upset. Give a round of applause for Madden and the video game crew. They're doing a great job. They're staying in the conversation. They're staying in the limelight, and they're already the most popular football game out there. Maybe video game in general. Well, Madden is doing the rating release. We talked about the 99 Club. There's four guys, DeAndre Hopkins, Khalil Mack, Bobby Wagner, and Aaron Donald. That was kind of a fun conversation. Well, they released quarterback rankings today, player rankings. And I saw this via Pro Football Talk. Aaron Rodgers is seventh. Yes, there are six quarterbacks on Madden's video game that are rated higher than Aaron Rodgers. Now, you can't throw health into this. This is a quarterback skill ability.
Yeah, if you want to knock his durability rating, I'm okay with that.
Sure, and I'm sure there is a durability thing in there somewhere, but it's not really going to sway you to go from first to seventh. These are the six quarterbacks above him.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
97. Tom Brady has a 96.
Okay.
Now, I don't know their rating numbers, but I think after that I saw Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson. Those six are better than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a hard no for me there, Bob. I think a lot of this stuff that's gone on the last 2 years around Aaron Rodgers has been a little comical.
I'm hoping he has a revenge year. And I say that as a 49er fan who hopes he doesn't beat my team.
I mean, it's a tough division, so I don't know how it's going to play out for him. I don't know how much better Green Bay is going to be around him this year. And his interception to touchdown ratio was crazy last year, 25-2. And I know there's a lot of advanced stats on that where he was throwing the ball away a ton, and that's why his completion percentage dropped down to 62%, which was one of the lower points of his career. But this is a guy that has been dealing with injuries for back-to-back years now, and primarily last year, I look at it, he got hurt in the first half of the first game of the season. It was never back to 100%. He came back, led him to a win. They hung around all year, but it wasn't enough, and he wasn't healthy enough. The team wasn't good enough for them to get over the hump. I don't like knocking a quarterback for that when they have the track record of an Aaron Rodgers. Like Mahomes, because of the year he had last year, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. Like, okay, fine. You want to give him that? Tom Brady, for everything he's done, I get that. The rest of the guys, I'm not willing to take ahead Aaron Rodgers at this point. I wouldn't. I think there's a conversation to be had, but if I was still ranking quarterbacks for next year, I would rather have Aaron Rodgers than Phillip Rivers. I would rather have Aaron Rodgers than Drew Brees, and I would rather have Aaron Rodgers than Russell Wilson. If he has another down year this year and he can't stay healthy again, and maybe you're starting to see, okay, the clock's ticking and he's losing to Father Time, then I'm willing to have that conversation. But I'm giving the dude the benefit of the doubt because he's one of the best in the league. He's just been banged up the last 2 years.
Yeah, but if Tom Brady doesn't win the Super Bowl last year, is he in the top seven?
His regular season numbers weren't great.
No, I mean, he was fine. We know he's not, like, outside of the Randy Moss year, he's never going to be the guy that usually leads the league in every category.
Yeah, he's 29-11. 29 touchdowns, 11 picks.
Tom's consistent, and then he's great in the big games. Yeah. He's consistent, great in the big games. And I'm not even trying to take Tom Brady out of the top seven because that would be insane. But my point is, how much of this is just a reaction to him being injured and his team sucking for 2 years?
Right, there hasn't been much around him.
Which seems weird because Madden is, they hire analytical guys, former scouts, to watch them. All these people just think Aaron Rodgers has lost it more than these other six quarterbacks. I love Russell Wilson. I love Andrew Luck. I've always loved Phillip Rivers, and I hope he can get a ring somehow in his career. Breeze is a respectable guy. Yeah, really, I love all six of the guys above him. If I had 1 year and you told me everything goes well health-wise, am I picking any of them over Aaron Rodgers? Any of them?
No, probably not. All things considered equal, and give him the same coaching staff and the same team around him.
Yep. Yeah. And he's slipping to seven?
Yeah. And this has been going on, though, for a couple of years. I think people forget the last time we saw this dude healthy for a season and in the playoffs, he carried a team to the NFC title game. That was 3 years ago. They went to the NFC title game, and the wheels fell off the tracks. They got killed by Atlanta. The year Atlanta went to the Super Bowl, but that was the last time we saw him healthy for an entire season. That's what he pulled off.
Some guy says, hey guys, love your show. F Aaron Rodgers. That's all.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Someone else, it's not an all-time rating. It's a one-year number. I know it's not an all-time rating. He's still Aaron Rodgers. What am I missing here?
Right.
If you think Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees are still up in this conversation, I believe you, and I'm with you. If Aaron Rodgers isn't, I don't know what we're watching.
Yeah, Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers are interesting ones to me. The answer is I would not take either of them over Aaron Rodgers next year.
Drew Brees fell off at the end of last year.
He did, and I don't know why he's getting the benefit of the doubt. You also consider what he's had to throw to and hand off to the last two seasons. His numbers are still great. I mean, he was 32 touchdowns, 5 picks. I mean, his 75% completion percentage, like he had a good year last year. I'll give him that. But when I consider, again, what he has around him, that has to play into this conversation.
The only one I think people for a one-year run would pick over him is Brady for the playoff reasons.
Sure.
But even then, it's like we know Rodgers can win in the postseason. It's not like he's sitting here going 0-4. He's got a ring. So I saw this and I'm like, video game rating, why is this getting me upset as a sports fan?
Yeah, it shouldn't get you upset, but I'm with you on the redemption tour kind of thing. It feels like we are riding off Aaron Rodgers a little bit too early, in my opinion.
Like, did we forget the first game of last year when he had less than a second to hike the ball, throw to somebody, and a Khalil Mack breathing all over him?
Right.
And he led an epic comeback to start the year.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae Adams is a really good wide receiver, and his numbers have been increasing.
He's climbing.
There's no doubt about it. Their second leading receiver last year was Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. Oh, and it was supposed to be the guy Packer fan wanted, Jordy Nelson, resigned, and got mad at me when he got to a Raider and I said he's done.
He's not going to be anything, yeah.
He's retired.
Yeah, you had Scantling. Remember him? Yeah, he had 38 catches. Randall Cobb only played in 9 games, so he was banged up throughout the course of the season. He's gone now. So it just... Yeah, that's one. You're writing him off a little too early. He's not over the hill quite yet. He's getting up there, and you're on the brink a little bit. He's 35 years old, so I understand the fear. But I'd give him one more year to stay healthy and see what he can put together with kind of a rebuilt roster around him.
This is a hot of hot takes. I don't know. Drew Brees is number one Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers, not so much.
Based on what?
That's just a hot take.
Based on what? The Super Bowl wins?
Somebody else said Matt Stafford got a 79 and Lamar Jackson got a 76. I didn't see all the rating breakdowns.
Okay, there's an issue on that one. Come on now.
Stafford's a little better than Lamar Jackson.
We have our fun with Matt Stafford time to time, but just stop it with that, okay?
Calm it down a little bit. We're going to stick in the National Football League to start the second hour. Our NFL whip around. We're bringing it back. NFL camps open next week, and we've got some juicy nuggets to talk about. Hour 2 straight ahead. NFL whip around next on The Fan.